with his female prey.
Holy crap, you were right.
Amber was cracking up.
Oh my God, she's leaving with him now.
See? That was slick. Slow and steady wins the race.
Apparently.
I took her empty coffee mug and returned it to the counter. Back at the table, I asked, "You want to look around?"
Sure. Now that the fiction aisle A through L is done being used for love connection.
As we browsed, I brushed my index finger along the books on the shelves while Amber followed close behind me. Now, I want you to really think about this question, Amber.
Okay.
If there's one book here that you've read that you'd want me to read, what would it be? It should be something that I would probably otherwise never think to pick up on my own. She continued to follow me in silence until she finally said,
"Probably The Law of Attraction."
She pointed to the nonfiction section.
"I saw it over there. I'm actually studying it right now and would love another person's take on what it teaches."
"All right. I'm going to buy it and read it. But you have to read whatever I pick for you. Deal?"
"Yes."
"I picked up The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. Have you ever read this?"
"No."
"Okay, this is my choice for you. We'll give each other a month to read. Then we'll discuss."
"This is shaping up to be an exciting few months for you, Lord. Cats, staying home and reading. What's next? Should I be looking for a bingo hall?"
"Get on that. Also, don't forget living with Negative Nancy. That's another one."
"Yep, that too."
I hope she truly knew I was joking. "I'm really enjoying being here so far. More than I anticipated, actually."
"It must have been the moldy cheese that did it."
"Definitely the moldy cheese," I grinned. We were standing in line waiting to check out when I asked, "Hey, you hungry for dinner?"
"Yeah, I'm starving."
I knew exactly where I wanted to take her. I saw this Jamaican place down the street on the way here.
"I've never had Jamaican food."
"You don't know what you're missing, then."
"What's your favorite dish?"
Without having to think, I answered, "Curry goat."
"Did you just say goat?"
"Yep."
"Snails, goat. Do you eat anything normal?"
Chapter 4. Amber. I'd been deep in thought when Annabelle took a seat next to me in the teacher's lounge. "How's Channing?" she asked as she opened her lunch bag. I couldn't actually tell her the truth. "Well, Annabelle, I've masturbated to thoughts of him every night since his arrival. It's a problem." "He's great, actually. I'm really enjoying his company." Well, that was the truth, too. She bobbed her head to the side as she looked at me. "You seem like you have something on your mind." "I have a lot of things on my mind, and most of them are not safe for work." "Well, it's nothing. It's just..." "What?" I thought up an analogy to explain what I was feeling. "You know how when you're on a diet, as long as you don't bring bad stuff into the house, you're fine, but as soon as someone brings over that box of cupcakes, all of your willpower is gone? That's sort of what having an attractive man around does to the celibate woman. Being around Channing is making me realize how badly I need to get laid." Annabelle was laughing at me. "The solution seems simple to me." She just couldn't seem to get it into her thick head that I refused to go there with Channing. Just because two people are single doesn't mean they're a good fit. "I don't know how many times I can explain it to you. I could never be with him in that way." She examined my face, then said, "I worry that the real reason you're afraid to consider that is because of Rory." The R word immediately triggered my defenses.
"What about Rory?"
"A part of you thinks that Rory and you are going to get back together, and you know that sleeping with Channing would ruin that because Rory would never be able to accept it. Am I right?" God, maybe. Maybe that was at the back of my mind. "I don't know. Maybe subconsciously. There is no doubt that Rory would never get over it if something happened with Channing and me. That's for sure. But first of all, even if I didn't care about the repercussions of sleeping with Channing, I don't think he looks at me in a sexual way. He never did. He sees me like a sister." "How can you be so sure of that?" "I can't entirely, but he could have almost any woman he wants. Well, everyone but some chick named Emily. So it's a safe assumption." Emily? Some girl he was telling me about that led him on, then went back to her old boyfriend. I bet she's out of this world gorgeous. He'd surprised me with that story. Emily must have really been something for Channing to want to consider settling down. That whole thing made me a little sad for him. I was jealous of Emily and kind of wanted to kick her ass for hurting my friend at the same time. Her mouth was full when she said,
"Have you looked in the mirror lately?"
"Yes, and I need to get my eyebrows threaded. Badly."
"You're selling yourself short. I'd kill for your body. Don't let it go to waste. You're only young once. We got to get you back in the game."
Annabelle would often compliment me. With her frizzy black hair, prominent nose, and stocky body, we were opposites physically. "My problem is, I'm not ready for a relationship. But at the same time, I don't want to just hook up with someone either. There's really no in-between. You know what I wish?" I looked around to make sure we were still alone. "I wish I had, like, a superpower where I could have sex with a man and erase the whole experience after, so that there was no aftermath or guilt. I would never run into him again. In fact, he would stop existing after that. But that's just a fantasy."
No, it's not. That's called a one-night stand."
"Well, you'd have to actually go out or online date to have a one-night stand. That sounds really daunting to me right now. I'm not ready for either one of those things."
"You just want to get laid by the magically disappearing cock."
I couldn't help but laugh when I said, "You need to lower your voice." Annabelle squinted her eyes. She was giving me a weird look, making me think she was cooking up something in her brain.
"What do you have up your sleeve?" I asked. "Who says you can't have what you want?"
"What do you mean?"
"When you just told me about your little superpower fantasy, you reminded me of something."
"What?"
"Okay, you know my cousin Shay, the single attorney who lives in Wellesley?"
"Yeah, you've mentioned her."
"Well, the last time I saw her was at my sister's wedding. She had a little too much to drink and began to open up to me at the reception."
Annabelle lowered her voice.
"She told me that she went to see a male escort."
Looking behind my shoulder, I whispered, "You mean a prostitute?"
"Technically, yes. But she said this guy was amazing, both physically and personality-wise. She said it was one of the most enjoyable nights she's ever had."
"She only saw him once?"
"Well, it's very expensive. Like $1,000 for one night."
"Shay said it was worth every penny."
"Apparently, it was just what she needed to feel confident and sexy again. A little while after that, she started to put herself out there and began dating the man she's now engaged to. But she attributes this escort with getting her out of the funk she'd been in. Not to mention, she said it was the best sex of her life."
"Really? Well, I could never do something like that."
"Suppose you had the money, though. Why would you say that you would never do it?"
She couldn't be serious.
"Because he probably has some disease, for one."
"Actually, I brought that up with her, and she said that they discussed it before they had any physical contact."
"He told her he gets tested frequently and is very rigid about practicing safe sex. He was very open about everything. They spoke quite a bit online before they met."
"Wow. Well, that definitely doesn't sound like what I envision a male prostitute to be like."
"It wasn't. I guess this company caters to the professional woman. They know that smart women want more than just a night of sex. They want to be with someone who is both sexy and intelligent. Honestly, if I were single and had the money, I would totally do it."
I wasn't sure I believed her.
"Really? You would?"
"Why not?
I agree with you that dating can be brutal. Sometimes a girl just needs a good lay and nothing more."
She whipped out her phone.
"What are you doing?"
"I'm texting Shay for the information on the escort service."
"Why?"
"Just in case you want to look into it." She winked. "You can start saving now. Skip the gel nails and the lattes for a few months."
"You're crazy. Don't bother."
She ignored me and kept typing.
"Like I said, can't hurt to have the information."
We'd been so wrapped up in this conversation, I hadn't even heated up my lunch. I popped my bowl into the microwave, waited, and just as it dinged, so did Annabelle's phone.
"Oh, she responded."
I blew on the escarole soup.
"What did she say?"
"Let me read it verbatim."
She paused. It's called Newbury Gentlemen's Club. They have a generic website. They obviously don't advertise the fact that they offer more than just escort services. The woman who owns it has a direct email. Most of their business is through word of mouth, since they can't be too blatant in their advertising. You contact this woman initially, and she gives you a password to a secure portal where you can choose the person based on physical attributes and a brief description of personality traits of the man you want to meet. For example, you can indicate whether you want to be with someone who's rough in bed or someone who is more gentle. You can indicate preferences like blonde or dark-haired, bulky or lean. They don't show photos to protect the man's privacy, but they guarantee that on a scale of 1 to 10 on the looks ratio, all of their men fall in the 10 range. She turned to me. God, this is better than being a kid in a candy store. Anyway, she just pasted the email address of the woman in charge, but also gave me a password that she said might still work to bypass having to contact the woman in order to get into the secure site. I'm forwarding you all the information. That made me nervous for some reason. Why? Because I want to live vicariously through you. I think you should look into it. Annabelle had seriously lost her mind. And where exactly am I going to get this money? I asked, even though I wasn't really entertaining this. Where there's a will, there's a way. I neglected to mention that I had quite a bit of savings, and that technically money wasn't the issue. I could easily afford the $1,000 price tag without denting my bank account because I'd always been smart with my money and saved a lot. That wasn't the deterrent for me so much as my fear of disease and my pride. A few days later, it was Sunday night, and my emotions were all over the place. I'd just logged into Facebook to find Rory had been tagged in a photo posted by someone named Jennifer Barney. They were walking along the Charles River, both wearing athletic clothing. I assumed he must have been dating her. It was the first time I'd had to see him with anyone else, and it was absolutely devastating. After thoroughly stalking her photos, I realized that Jennifer's features were similar to mine, which made it all even worse somehow. He'd broken up with me to spend time with someone who looked like she could be my sister, and that burned. I did something I considered doing a long time ago but never followed through with. I unfriended him to avoid having to see his posts. It was time. I didn't want a front-row seat to his moving on. The condo was eerily quiet as I sat alone with my misery. Well, I wasn't completely alone. Kitty was sulking on the other end of the couch. It was the first time Channing had left her alone with me. He'd flown back to Chicago for the weekend. I was grateful for the reprieve, not because I didn't enjoy his company, but because I was starting to enjoy it a little too much. His smell, his laugh, everything about him. It was also nice to not have to worry about what I looked like as I lounged around in my sweats. But now I sort of wished he were here. He'd likely say something to make me feel better. Desperately needing a distraction, I scrolled through my phone and came across the text message Annabelle had sent me containing the information for Newbury Gentlemen's Club. My curiosity got the best of me. Pulling up the website, I must have stared at the screen for over 15 minutes. The truth was, I hadn't been able to stop thinking about the male escort thing since Annabelle's and my conversation in the lunchroom. My heart was pounding. Was I really doing this? I told myself that I was just innocently checking it out, that I wasn't really serious about it. An unsettled feeling in the pit of my stomach, however, seemed to contradict that. And an inner voice that felt new and untrustworthy was telling me that I deserved this, to put my carnal needs first, that no one needed to know. A box prompting the user to enter a password popped up onto the screen. If the code that Annabelle's cousin had given me worked, then I would be convinced that was a sign. If it didn't work, then I would walk away. After I punched the code in, I was diverted to another site. I was in. The page was black with gold accents and sleek fonts. A slow and seductive piano tune played. The site featured a detailed description of the club's services. You could choose from a minimum half-day experience, full day, or even an entire weekend, which seemed to be the maximum duration offered. The full day rate was $2,000, with the cheapest option being the half-day rate at a cool grand. I clicked on a link titled Meet Our Gentlemen. It was essentially a menu of men, each numbered Gentleman 1 through Gentleman 20. A disclaimer noted that for the privacy of the men, photos would not be provided. I began clicking through each profile, reading the descriptions. Gentleman 1 is an actor by trade. He loves older women, gentle lovemaking, and intelligent conversation. With blonde hair, blue eyes, and a tall, lean body, Gentleman 1 is an all-American dream. Celebrity doppelganger? Alexander Skarsgård. Gentleman 4 was born and raised in the Dominican Republic, known as our gentle giant. With his massive frame and strong, muscular body, he's often mistaken for a pro wrestler. Celebrity doppelganger? Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I read through them all, eventually returning to the one who had stood out the most, Gentleman 9. Gentleman 9 is a southern gentleman, raised right. He believes chivalry isn't dead, and his goal is to make you feel as comfortable as you will feel sexy. Celebrity doppelganger, Matt Bomer. He had me at Matt Bomer. Underneath the description was a button that said, Contact Gentleman 9. I entered the email address where it asked for it to activate the chat feature and began typing. Hi, my name is Amber, and I can't even believe I am writing to you right now. I don't even know what you look like or whether you're a psychopath. Well, given the fact that my writing to you is essentially synonymous with trolling for sex, I guess the shady one in this equation is me. I'm really not shady. I'm not unattractive or desperate either. I'm sure you see your share of those types. But I felt the need to let you know that I'm not gross. I'm 25, svelte, and have been told that I'm attractive, although I don't feel that I am the proper judge of that. I just want to be clear that I'm not contacting you because men aren't interested in me. I could definitely find a man to sleep with if I wanted to deal with all of the other things that go along with that. I am not looking for a relationship. This past year, I got my heart broken by the man I thought was the love of my life. And, well, since then, I haven't felt ready or able to open my heart to anyone. Not sure if I ever will. Some days I miss him, and that makes me even angrier, because you shouldn't feel that way about someone who dumped you. I don't want to go off on a tangent here. I'm sure you're very busy. Very busy getting busy. I'm sorry. I know. I'm not very good at this. Anyway, the reason I'm writing you right now is because I'm starting to really miss sex. I'm wondering if one night with someone who really knows what they're doing and who won't judge me or expect anything more from me might be what I need right now. I don't feel comfortable just showing up to a hotel room without knowing a little bit about who you are. And I'd also want confirmation that you don't have a disease. Not sure how that will work. Anyway, I'd love to chat. If we can come to some sort of an agreement, then I would take the next step to meet you for a half-day session. Best, Amber W.
Chapter 5. Channing. The Chicago trip was way more stressful than I thought it would be. I needed to check in on my mother and handle some other business, but the entire time, I couldn't wait to get back to Amber's place in Boston, back to Kitty and the calm. I still couldn't believe Amber had insisted on keeping the cat around. But the sneezing had stopped, so that was good. I didn't think I could really keep Kitty if she was continuing to make Amber sick. The sound of running water could be heard when I let myself in. Amber was taking a shower as she normally did in the evenings. I hadn't told her exactly when I'd be returning, so I hoped I didn't scare her when she came out of the bathroom. Kitty started meowing right away as she purred along my legs. Lifting her up, I kissed her softly on the head. How's my girl? You take good care of Amber? A throw blanket was strewn messily atop the couch, and Amber's laptop was open on the coffee table. I was looking forward to catching up with my roomie, hearing about what she'd been up to this weekend. Even though we both worked a lot, it was always nice to chat with her at night before retreating to my room. We would sometimes watch TV together or just talk about our days. Before this, it had been years since I'd had a roommate, not since college. I'd forgotten that living with someone could actually be enjoyable. Not to mention, Amber's condo was a pretty damn sweet place to live. It was spacious, with high ceilings and white crown moldings, details that only an older, historic property would have. It was the nicest place I'd ever lived, and nothing like I'd expected. I couldn't wait to take a shower myself tonight. Since I had to wait for the bathroom, I decided to relax for a bit and surf the net. Plopping my ass down on the couch, I let out a deep sigh. Breathing in, I could smell the pumpkin-scented Yankee candle that Amber had burning on the mantel. Damn, it was good to be back here. Since Amber had left her laptop open, I figured I would use it instead of grabbing mine. Readying to log into my Facebook account, I noticed a website that was minimized. I probably shouldn't have clicked on to see what it was, but we won't remind Kitty that curiosity killed the cat. The website that met my eyes was definitely not something I was prepared to see. She'd left a chat window open. It was a message to someone. With my heart pounding, I read it at least 3 times. What the fuck? My mind was racing. In what world does Amber need to go to a male escort? Does she have any clue how dangerous that could be? She didn't. Amber had always been a little too naive and trusting. Frozen, I couldn't get past the shock of this enough to figure out how to deal with it. Was I supposed to just forget I saw this? Pretend like nothing happened when she came out of the bathroom? The sound of the shower turning off started an internal timer in my head. There wasn't much time to think about how to react. There was no way I could allow her to do something so reckless as to sleep with some guy who'd probably been with thousands of women. Coming from me, I know that thought was like the pot calling the kettle black, but I couldn't guarantee that this person took the necessary precautions to avoid disease, not to mention her safety in a situation like this. She couldn't trust what he said no matter what bullshit he was going to feed her. Needing to buy myself more time, I made an impulsive decision. Deep down, I knew it was out of line, but that didn't matter at the moment. Fuck that. All that mattered was looking out for her. I hit the contact button. It required you to enter your email address to start a new message. Referring to my phone, I looked up Amber's email, hoping it was the same one she'd just used. I entered it, pretending to be her, and typed, "Sorry, I had too much to drink tonight. Disregard that last email, please. I'm no longer interested." I saw that you could delete sent messages from within the chat box. Good. This is good. I can work with this. I deleted my message from the sent tab so that she wouldn't see it. I really hoped that tactic worked, preventing this guy from responding to her initial message. Then again, if she didn't hear back, she might contact him again or contact another gentleman. Shit. Think. I had an idea of how to handle that, but knew that I needed to get out of here to implement it. There was no way I could face her right now anyway. Making sure I left her computer open in the same spot in which I'd found it, I got up. Taking my travel bag with me, I exited the condo and headed to the cafe down the street. She would never know I'd even come home in the first place. Once at the cafe and seated at a table with my laptop, I decided to create a new email address under the guise of Gentleman9. Without overthinking it, I sent her a message. "Dear Amber, thank you for reaching out to me. I felt that your message warranted emailing you from this address so that you don't have to log into the site to contact me moving forward. It's easier to correspond back and forth this way. I can completely understand you're wanting to get to know me first, and I think that's wise. I'm here for you if you want to talk or anything else. Just let me know what questions you have. Gentleman9. What the fuck had I gotten myself into? I should have just had him tell her he couldn't help her out, that he was too busy. But then what if she moved on, seeking the services of someone else? I couldn't monitor the situation unless I controlled every step. It needed to be handled like this. Also, to be honest, a part of me really wanted to know what she was thinking. Jesus, I was going to hell. Not ready to go home and face her, I ordered a hot tea and decided to sit for a while before venturing back home. A notification chimed, signaling that I'd received a new email. It was a response from Amber. I probably shouldn't have been surprised that she'd responded to my message so quickly. "Hi, Gentleman 9. Thank you for answering so fast and for providing me with this email address. You're right. It's much easier to communicate with you outside of the portal. I'm sorry if I sounded like a rambling mess in my first message. As you can see, I am new at this. My biggest concern is to ensure that you don't have any kind of sexually transmitted disease. How do you protect yourself if you're with so many women? Do you have anything current from a doctor that you can show me verifying that you're clean? I know you probably can't divulge personal information. Beyond those issues, I guess I just want to know who you are. How old are you? Do you really look like Matt Bomer? LOL. How did you end up doing this? And what would a night or half day with you be like? Sorry for all the questions. Amber. Shit. Deeper down the rabbit hole. Bouncing my legs frantically, I raked my fingers through my hair while I pondered my response. Determined to lie as little as possible, I tried my best to address her questions in a way that the answers could technically be applied to the real me. That made me feel a little less guilty. I began to type. Hi, Amber. Don't worry about asking too many questions. There is no such thing. I can provide you with whatever verification you need that I'm clean. I can assure you that I'm STD-free, but as a precaution, I always use condoms with no exceptions. Your safety is my number one priority. How did I end up doing this? Well, how much time do you have? LOL. That's a long story I should probably tell you in person, but the bottom line is, I fell into this situation, and it's hard to leave now. In answer to your age question, I'm 27. I don't exactly look like Matt Bomer, but you might like me even better. A night with me consists of whatever you're comfortable with and whatever you desire. We could talk for a while or not talk at all. Basically, your wish would be my command. I can guarantee that for at least the time we are together, you won't be thinking about that fool who left you. What brought you to me tonight of all nights? G9. That was really what I wanted to know. This was so unlike Amber, or at least the Amber I thought I knew. What prompted her to do this tonight? Something must have happened while I was away. I took a long sip of my tea, nearly burning my mouth, and waited. I knew if she hadn't gone to bed, she wouldn't take long to respond. I'd give it 20 minutes before giving up and going home. 5 minutes later, a new message popped up in my fake inbox. G9, is that what your friends call you? I like that. Thanks for the answers. That's an interesting question. Why tonight of all nights? Well, I saw my ex tagged on Facebook with another woman, and that put me over the edge. But it's more than that. Lately, I've developed a strong attraction to a good friend of mine, and that's sort of screwing with me a bit. He's actually temporarily living in my condo, but he's someone I've known for years. I've always thought he was extremely handsome, but it's complicated. He and I would not be a good match romantically. He's not the monogamous type, or at least he never used to be. We're better off as friends. He was also the best friend of my ex years back, so there's that. Having him around, though, has made me more sensitized to my sexual desires. Little things like the waft of his scent, the way he touches the small of my back when he passes by me in the kitchen. It's like my body is on this constant state of alert. So I was thinking if I could just, for lack of a better word, get laid, maybe I could get this feeling out of my system. Amber. My jaw was open as I just sat there staring at the screen. Holy fucking shit. I read it again, and again, and again. I honestly didn't think that Amber felt that way about me. She would always make jokes about me being good-looking, but her attraction to Rory proved that her taste wasn't exactly conventional. Now, I really felt like shit for invading her privacy, because there was no way she would have been okay with confessing that to me. I never imagined any of this had to do with me. I'd assumed it was solely about Rory. She wanted to use another man to fuck me out of her system? That revelation left me shocked and confused, not to mention hard as fuck thinking about the fact that Amber wanted me. Knowing what I now knew, the right thing to do would have been to just abandon the entire exchange at this point. But then how would that have left her feeling if he never wrote back? I'd completely made a mess of this situation, although I still wouldn't have changed a thing if it meant preventing her from giving her body to some male whore who merely wanted her money. This predicament kept getting more difficult for me to navigate. The cafe was about to close. Needing to get home and not wanting her to think she'd lost me, I sent her one final message. Amber, I can definitely relate to wanting someone you can't have. I think you should think about what you want to do a bit more. I'm here if you need to talk, but I have to log off for the night. Have a good evening. G9. I closed my laptop and got up to exit the cafe. My breathing was ragged as I sucked in the cold night air. Making my way down the cobblestone street, I pondered whether I should avoid Amber tonight altogether. My fear was that she would be able to tell that something was up just by looking at me. Something was definitely up, and I couldn't have her noticing that either. Pretending to be arriving home for the first time, I opened the door and greeted Kitty as if we hadn't already reunited tonight. True to form, her meowing was just as enthusiastic as ever. It didn't matter whether we hadn't seen each other for hours or minutes, she was always purring and excitedly meowing her ass off. Amber was sitting on the couch. She abruptly closed her computer and straightened up as if I'd caught her with her pants down. "Channing, I wasn't sure when you'd be getting back." Dropping my bag on the floor, I said, "Yeah, late flight. I'm exhausted." Silence filled the air as we stood facing each other. I sensed that she was still thinking about Gentleman Nine and probably feeling a little ashamed. Maybe my presence had snapped her back to reality a little. At least, I hoped so. I'd known Amber since I was a kid, but somehow this moment felt like I was meeting her for the first time, seeing a new side of her, one that involved her wanting me and one that involved the understanding that she was no longer the innocent girl I once knew. She had needs, very adult needs. I didn't blame her for that. Hell, the fact that she was exploring her sexuality was hot as fuck. I just wanted to make sure she was safe. That was all. Anything exciting happened while I was gone? I took two steps toward her and immediately noticed her body stiffen as she stepped back a bit. She was reacting to me. Had it always been like this? Maybe I just never noticed. I was now picking up on the body language that had probably been there all along. "No, it was really quiet with you not here. Without the distraction, I ended up stalking Rory's Facebook page, which was a total mistake. He was tagged by some girl while they were out. I shouldn't have done that." I had to act surprised because, of course, I already knew about that from our email exchange. "I'm sorry you had to see that." "I unfriended him, so I don't have to see his posts anymore. It's for the best." "Good." I scratched my chin. "That was a good idea." She looked up at me, her eyes reflecting so many different things. Sadness, desire, desperation, confusion. That jackass had left her feeling so lost, doubting herself. But the answer to her problems had nothing to do with him. She needed to get out, find herself, separate her own self-worth from the breakup. There was no question that I was attracted to her. I was very attracted to Amber, always had been. That didn't mean I was the right person for her. She was too vulnerable to mess with. Not to mention, the mature side of me really didn't want to ruin a good thing. I valued her friendship more than anything, and this time in Boston with her was like a second chance to renew it. There weren't exactly a lot of people in my life whom I could depend on. Not to mention, Lainey would have been proud of me for looking after her best friend and not fucking things up. Amber was generally smart, but her contacting that service proved she could be misguided. Paying for sex wasn't the answer to her problem. She needed help finding someone without having to resort to that. Even though the thought of pawning her off to some dude in a bar admittedly made me jealous, I sucked it up because the alternative of how she was handling herself was definitely the bigger evil. "You need to put yourself out there, Amber, as hard as that might be." "I tried online dating. It's not for me." "What happened?" "Well, as an example, one guy told me how much he wanted to give me a pearl necklace. I thought he had some kind of jewelry fetish. Annabelle had to break the news to me about what it was. That was pretty much the end of it for me." "Oh, shit." Yeah, he wanted to bejewel you with his cum. Sick fuck. Also, beware of someone who wants to shower you in gold.
Yeah, I know that now.
Maybe try a different route. You need to force yourself to go out more. You can gauge people better in person. We should go out Friday night. I can be your wingman.
You're gonna what? Pimp me out?
The irony in her choice of words was not lost on me. No, but I'm very good at judging people on a first impression, so I can help you determine if a guy is worth talking to. Help make a smooth introduction to avoid any awkwardness.
I'm not really ready for that kind of thing.
I know that. But you probably never will feel ready. Sometimes you just have to push yourself to get out of the house. That's half the battle. Then you just sit back and watch life happen. Nothing great can happen to you if you stay home all of the time. She cracked a slight smile that I knew was masking a plethora of self-doubt as she tried to convince herself of all the reasons not to take me up on my offer. Amber, just drinks, okay? She let out a breath and softly said, okay.
Chapter 6. Amber. Happenstance was a bar a few blocks from home. A coworker had recommended it, saying the atmosphere was relaxed and the beer was reasonably priced. So I suggested it to Channing for our night out. A jukebox sat unused in the corner. Maybe I'd get up and play something later. The bar was channeling an old Coyote Ugly vibe. Hundreds of bras hung over rods along the ceiling, an indication that there had certainly been some wild nights at this joint. Unfortunately, tonight wasn't one of them. So, what do you have up your sleeve tonight, Lord? Absolutely nothing. This is just a night out between friends. But if anyone happens to catch your eye, just let me know. I'm your man. And what exactly are you going to do if I decide I want to talk to someone? I'll catch him at the bar. Start a casual conversation with him. I need to vet the guy first to make sure he's not a tool. If it seems like he's worth talking to, I'll give you a signal. We'll have to come up with something. Like maybe I'll look over at you and scratch my chin. My eyes were transfixed on Channing's masculine fingers rubbing against his scruff as he demonstrated. That'll signal that it's safe to come over, he said. Then what? I'll introduce you as my friend. I can casually slip away if it turns out you're getting along with him. If not, you can excuse yourself. Is this what you do for your guy friends? I've done it a few times in the past. Does it work? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Why? I asked before the answer hit me. Oh, let me guess. Because the chick ends up disappointed that you weren't the one interested in her. She wants you instead. He laughed guiltily. That might have happened once or twice. Oh, my God, Channing, I would never let you be my wingman if I were a guy. That would be counterproductive. Well, it's a good thing you're not a guy then, isn't it? Channing looked and smelled amazing. He wore a dark gray beanie that reminded me of the one in the photo on Facebook. His shiny hair was sticking out at the top. The woolly, fitted sweater he was wearing made me want to scratch it like a cat. He looked around. I don't see any viable options. I'd have to agree with you. It's pretty empty here tonight. Channing took a bite of his fry and dipped it in my ketchup. Some things to keep in mind if you're ever out and about without me. I straightened in my seat. Okay, what? Be wary of men who are by themselves in bars. They're lurkers. He pointed to a man in the corner of the room. Like that guy over there. A dude is much safer if he's with a friend or a group. Much less likely to be a psychopath. Makes sense. And, well, you do seem able to read people. I was impressed by your observation of that couple in the bookstore. Look around. Tell me what you want to know about someone here. I'll tell you their story. Taking him up on his challenge, I pointed to a girl sitting at the bar. What about her? The girl looked tense, like she was waiting for someone. See how she's looking around frantically? She's waiting for her Tinder date, and I think it might be the first time she's ever done this. She's already decided she's going to have sex tonight. She's not sure if she should, but she's going to do it anyway. Interesting. That reminded me of something. I pointed to the man in the corner. What about him? The guy you said was a lurker. What's his deal, really?
He's probably here looking for you, but I'm with you, so thankfully that was intercepted. He's creepy.
Totally. I looked toward the opposite corner of the room where a man and woman were together, but completely ignoring each other. What about that couple over there?
God, look at them. They're both on their phones, not even paying attention to each other. They've been together for a while, probably, and just don't give a shit anymore. That's kind of sad.
Yeah, but we all do that from time to time, right? I said. His eyes widened.
You and Rory went out and spent half the night looking down at your phones?
Well, yeah, actually we did sometimes. You've never done that?
I can't even recall one time I pulled out my phone on a date. Well, not for the purpose of making a phone call or checking the internet.
What other purposes are there? Channing smirked, and that made me very curious. Maybe I don't want to know, but tell me anyway.
A woman once asked me to go to the bathroom and text her a picture of how hard I was for her. So, I made an exception and pulled out my phone in that instance.
That's not all you pulled out, apparently, I laughed.
Touché.
Normally, the idea of Channing sending a photo of his cock to some woman would make me cringe. Maybe it was the alcohol, but right now, the thought of him sneaking off into a bathroom and doing something like that was turning me on. Then again, everything was turning me on lately. I really needed to figure out where the off button was. I cleared my throat. Okay, so you make exceptions for dick pics.
Only dick pics, he winked. Otherwise, it's disrespectful and shows the person that I'm more interested in other things. If I'm with someone, I'm going to be mentally present. Otherwise, what's the point of being together?
Yeah, but after you've been with someone for a while, it's a little different. You've never gotten to that point with anyone. In a long-term relationship, gone are the butterflies and the dick pics.
Well, that's just a shame. Maybe that's part of the problem. If being online is more interesting than the person sitting in front of you, then what does that say?
He looked back over at the couple.
Those two haven't looked at each other once. If that's what a relationship is like, then I'm happy I'm not in one.
It was hard to argue with that. My attention turned to two men who were looking in our direction. What about those guys?
They're gay,
Channing said without hesitation. Ah, you have gaydar too?
Well, if they're looking at me and not you, then yes, that makes it pretty easy to figure out. You don't even really need gaydar in that case.
I guess you're right. I sighed and surveyed the room some more. What do you think someone turning the tables on us right now would think? What impression would we give?
They would think we were either old friends or on a good date because we're actually comfortable with each other and engaged in conversation. And they would think I was entertaining because you're smiling and laughing.
They wouldn't know what a miserable person I am normally. His expression turned serious.
I don't see you that way at all, Amber.
How do you see me? What's your honest impression of me since arriving in Boston?
You want the truth?
Yes.
You're still 16 to me, he laughed.
Shut up, really? You think so? Well, you definitely look a lot older to me, but not in a bad way.
You honestly look almost the same. But I'm not just talking about your appearance. When I look at you, I see my sister's friend, the girl who hung out in my basement and who used to kick my ass in air hockey. That's who I see, even though I know you're really not her anymore. Maybe I just want you to be her. I'm choosing to see that version of you for selfish reasons.
You prefer her over the person I am now. He was quick to correct.
That's not what I meant, at all. You have every reason to be in a funk right now. And of course, you've grown up a lot. I was more referring to the nostalgia of thinking about the connection we had back then. We lost touch when I went away to UF. And after that, it was never really the same between you and me. That's what happens when you're young. We evolve. But the mark of true friendship is that you can still come full circle, even if life circumstances change.
I always knew you'd be there for me if I ever needed you. But I never would have imagined that I'd be sitting in a bar in Boston with you, and certainly wouldn't have dreamt that we'd be living together. It's fate. The timing was right. The job brought me here, but the universe knew you really needed someone to give you a good kick in the ass. Have you started reading The Law of Attraction? You mentioned the universe. He winked. I might have. I hope you don't think I'm a whack job after you get done with it. I'm surprised at how much I'm liking it, actually. And I think that what the book teaches about manifesting your own destiny can help you get over the R word, if you apply it correctly. You can say his name. I won't freak out. I'm done crying over it. Channing tapped my foot with his under the table. Good. I just need to hit a reset button on my life. He smacked the table. There it is, the new R word. Reset. Love that, I sighed. You know, my problem is, I've never dated. I never had to because I was always with Rory. I feel like I don't really know how to handle myself in that situation. I'm like a fish out of water. So, let's practice. How? We'll pretend to be two people who are just meeting here. I can stay in character if you can. It'll be like improv. Oh, boy, I laughed. This sounded crazy, but kind of fun at the same time. I guess I should take advantage of the opportunity to practice with a true expert. When he suddenly got up, I asked, Where are you going? I need to enter the bar. Pretend like I'm just meeting you. He winked. Just wing it, all right? All right. I took a long sip of my drink. Channing exited the building, then re-entered. He was apparently not fooling around. He actually went to the bar and ordered a beer before his head slowly turned toward me. When his gaze met mine, his mouth curled into a sly smile. I covered my mouth in laughter before he gave me a scolding look with his eyes. He was silently reprimanding me for not taking this seriously. It was in that moment that I vowed to get my shit together and actually play along. The only problem was, I couldn't stop laughing, and worse, I got the hiccups. Whenever I laughed really hard, I would always get the worst case of them. Channing was cracking up now, too, because he remembered my hiccup issue. It used to happen to me all of the time when we were younger. When the laughter died down, the sexy smirk returned to Channing's face as he once again moved into character, playing the role of my mysterious suitor. Flirtatiously twirling my hair with my index finger, I returned his smile. When he began to walk toward me, I actually got goosebumps. My physical reaction was no different than if this was actually happening. Are you alone? He asked. My heartbeat sped up. Yes. Mind if I join you? Not at all. He pulled out a chair and sat down. I'm Channing. He held out his hand, and when I took it, his touch felt electric. My nipples hardened. Maybe this wasn't such a great idea. My name is Amber. Well, excuse you. You okay there? Yeah, I just get the hiccups when I laugh too hard. You made me laugh earlier. Is that so? His tone was so flirtatious. Yeah. You know, I used to have a friend who hiccuped whenever she laughed too hard. You know what I would do to her? What? I would scare the living daylights out of her when she least expected it. That's supposed to make them go away. Please don't do that to me, I said seriously. It used to annoy me when he'd startle me. Well, what's a beautiful, hiccuping girl like yourself doing alone in a bar anyway? Just relaxing, having a drink. Over the course of the next 30 minutes, Channing stayed in character, asking me question after question about my job and personal interests, as if we were meeting each other for the very first time. Honestly, it was freaky how real it felt. I found myself getting lost in the experience, almost forgetting who we were and the purpose of the skit. He was so engaging and easy to talk to. Something told me that this wasn't exactly how it would be with most guys I'd pick up in a bar. I wasn't going to admit this to him, but if this were real, I'd be totally sold on him right now. My hiccups still hadn't waned, though. At one point mid-conversation, Channing grabbed my glass of water and drank a sip before suddenly splashing it in my face. The surprise impact of the water hitting my skin caused a rush of adrenaline. Drenched, I yelled,
What was that for?
For your hiccups.
Wiping my face with a napkin, I said, I told you not to scare me.
I bet they go away now, though.
Sure, now that I look like a drowned rat.
No, you don't. You look beautiful.
After that comment, it was necessary to remind myself that he was still in character. Sure enough, the hiccups never returned as we continued our little role-play game. Channing gradually pushed his chair nearer to me. His face was close to mine whenever he spoke. I could smell the beer on his tongue mixed with his cologne. There was likely no sexier scent on earth than the combination of those two things. I was trying to ignore the fact that my panties were wet just from the closeness of his body and from the feel of his breath on my face. That made me realize how hard up I was. God. After several minutes of talking, he leaned in and spoke directly in my ear.
I'm not far from the bar at all. How about we get out of here? Go back to my place.
His lips actually touched my skin, and his breath felt like it traveled through my ear canal and down to my vagina. It nearly did me in. This game was starting to play serious tricks on me. The urge to lean in, grab him by his hat, and bring him to my lips was enormous. My heart started to pound. What would have happened if I said yes? Would I really go to his apartment? Well, actually, my place. Would the game continue beyond the bar? Would we role-play our way all the way into his bedroom? Wishful thinking, maybe. Finally, I answered him. I would love to. Channing just kept staring at me. He was stuck. I'd totally stumped him. He suddenly fell out of character and flashed me a look of warning.
You wouldn't actually respond that way, would you?
If we weren't us, and you were you, I probably would. Feeling stupid, I shook my head.
No.
I was just playing along.
Good. Because you should never go home with someone you just met. Ever. I don't care how good his game is,
he scolded. He was even hotter when he was angry. Channing was staring off and looking seriously worried. Guilt washed over me, thinking about Gentleman Nine. If he only knew about that, he'd kill me. Channing never resumed character, and much to my chagrin, it seemed the game was over. Thank you for the practice run, I said. He simply nodded. Surveying the room, I sighed. It doesn't look like you're actually going to get to test your wingman skills out on me tonight, Lord. He chuckled.
We apparently picked the lamest bar in Boston.
It's okay. I had no expectations. In my experience, nothing ever happens when you're looking for it. You either have to make something happen for yourself, or it just falls into your lap when you stop searching. But when you're sitting around passively waiting for something, typically it doesn't happen. Sometimes, if you really need something, you have to take it into your own hands. His eyes looked like daggers.
What do you mean by that?
I knew what I was referring to, but I wasn't about to tell him. When I hesitated, he said,
You know, I'm as wild as they come. But over time, I've learned to think before I act. When people are feeling vulnerable, they're more likely to do something stupid. You might believe that you want certain things that you may not really want. You might be more likely to act on impulse without thinking something through. Spontaneity in life can be both good and bad, but many of the mistakes we regret for the rest of our lives were born from a moment of impulsivity. Sometimes, when you know you're in a vulnerable state, it can be good to take a step back and check yourself.
His words were random and oddly cryptic, given what I'd been up to lately. It felt like God was speaking through him. I took those words in. But unfortunately, the longer we stayed in this bar and the more drinks I consumed, the more uninhibited and impulsive I felt. I think I need another drink, I said. How about you?
You want another Cosmo?
I would love one. When I took out my wallet, he placed his hand on mine.
I got it.
The feeling of his hand made my body react again. As Channing walked over to the bar, I admired the curvature of his ass and the dark jeans he was wearing. He was charming the pants off the older female bartender.
I felt really fortunate to have this handsome man buying me a drink and to have his full attention tonight, even if we weren't together romantically. I got the sudden urge to shock him a little. Reaching behind my back, I undid my bra and slipped it out of the bottom of my shirt. "Hey, Channing, catch," I said before slinging the bra toward him. What I didn't anticipate was my bra landing on his head. A wide smile spread over his face. Clearly, he was used to women throwing lingerie at him, since he seemed amused but unfazed that my bra was currently hanging off his face. He climbed up on a chair and hooked it over the bar, where it joined the bras of over 1,000 other women who'd lost their minds here before me.
Chapter 7. Channing. Amber taking off her bra was definitely interesting. It made me realize what shaky ground I was on because it was a full-on struggle not to make my gawking obvious for the rest of the night. She was so goddamn sexy without even trying to be. I'd always thought so, but I'd never really gotten to see that wild side of her until tonight. Of course, knowing what she'd told Gentleman Nine about me, knowing she wanted me, made my inner conflict worse. I'd taken it too far with that let's pretend game, too. It felt too real. I was playing off our attraction to each other and experiencing actual chemistry with her. My strong reaction to her saying she'd come home with me was a little much. It's not like I hadn't picked up countless women in that exact same manner. But I couldn't help feeling protective because her gullible response reminded me about the whole Gentleman Nine situation and how vulnerable she was. It truly was my intention to try to hook her up with someone decent if the opportunity presented itself at the bar tonight. But the more time we spent there talking, drinking, and reminiscing, the more I hoped no prospects came along. I was enjoying having her to myself, but that was wrong because I really did want what was best for her. And that didn't include me. And Gentleman Nine most definitely wasn't what was best for her. I'd been relieved that she hadn't contacted him again all week. That made me hopeful that she decided to nix the idea of seeing him and had come to the correct conclusion that it wasn't the right move. As I sat up in bed, unable to sleep, I decided to check the account I'd created just in case there was anything new. My stomach dropped when I noticed a new message from Amber that came in about 15 minutes ago. She must have just sent it from her room. I braced myself and opened it. Dear G9, it's been a few days, and to be honest, I wasn't sure if I was going to ever contact you again. I was leaning toward no. But as much as I've tried to distract myself, I can't seem to let the idea of this go, even though it's literally the craziest thing I've ever done. So, I'm thinking I'd like to move forward with a meetup. What's the next step? Amber. My pulse raced. Shit. I needed to either not respond ever again or come up with something that would get my ass out of this situation. There was also the burning need to know the reason behind her sudden push to move forward. If anything, I'd hoped that my words of warning about impulsivity tonight would have helped steer her away from the idea of paying some man to fuck her. Clearly, that wasn't the case. Angry and perplexed, it took me several minutes to figure out what to say, and I ultimately came up with something short and sweet that would put the ball back in her court. Hey, Amber, I didn't think I was going to hear back from you. What changed your mind? G9. Hoping she didn't decide to fall asleep, I waited for the next message to come in. Hi, G9. Thank you for the quick response. I just came in from a night out with my friend, the one I told you about. He was hoping to serve as my wingman tonight, but no one worthy of his efforts ever showed. We still had a really great time. Well, I already told you about my attraction to him. We'd done this role-play thing where he pretended to be picking me up in the bar so that I could practice my dating skills. We were flirting, or pretending to, and his body was close. Anyway, I came home feeling very aroused. Also, I might be a little drunk. I don't want to wait months or years to satisfy the sexual need I'm feeling, so I'm taking matters into my own hands, or maybe into yours. That was bad. Let me know what's next. Amber. Blood was pumping through my veins and rushing down to my cock. I just started writing the first thing that came to mind. This time the words were coming from a different place within me. Amber, it may not be my place to ask, but this man you live with, how do you know he doesn't want you in the same way you want him?